to start off with a hymn. Let's start off on page 812. If you're able to stand, page number 812, Victory in Jesus. This morning that I have victory. the words that speak. Pray vigils and think. I mean, that's my prayer. It's just for people just to thank God and stand with the Lord. Keep that in prayer. Keep all those individual prayer.
Thank you.
Glad that everybody can make it out this evening. It's a blessing and honor to have Brother Rodney here with us tonight. It's a special blessing to help me out today. My voice is kind of out. So, Brother, come on in. Preach where we're living.
All right. Well, I got two things to do first.
Number one, green? I'm green. We're good. All right. Number two is to invite you to turn to the book of Joshua, which I need to do myself. As long as it's in the same place it was last time I read it, I should do that quite quickly. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Joshua chapter 4. Very good. Joshua chapter 4, I'm going to read some verses to you. We're going to stop for a moment to ask the Lord's blessing, and then we're going to jump right in to the message the Lord has for us tonight. Joshua chapter 4, verse number 1, it says this, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be, listen, a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What meaneth ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel." And what's the last two words? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are not a God of the dead, but of the living. And you are the one who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Show us that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message is simply this: Signs of Victory. Signs of Victory. The children of Israel, they had been delivered from the land of slavery, Egypt. You remember, they were there for over 400 years. But until right now, in Joshua chapter 2, 3, and 4, they had never entered into the land God had promised to bring them to. They were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. The Bible pictures their deliverance leaving Egypt and following Moses to the Red Sea, where God split the Red Sea open on two sides, and all of Israel crossed over. And then as the enemy pursued them, what did God do with those waters? And crushed the enemy. Listen, forever. And then the Bible tells us that the children of Israel looked and they saw their enemies before their eyes dead. We're delivered. Those children of Israel went on at the Lord's direction to Mount Sinai, received the law of God, went up to the borders of the promised land. Now, the promised land in the River Jordan is not a symbol of death in the scriptures. It isn't. It's a symbol of crossing over into the victorious Christian life. Listen, there was deliverance from sin and from the power of Satan in the land of Egypt. Your enemy, the devil, has been squashed. He's been defeated. He is gone forever. He has no hope. You have the hope. You're the living hope. But when brought to the edge of the banks of Jordan to cross over into the promised land that God had promised them and given them, they fell back and shrank back in unbelief. Where did they go? They went to the wilderness and wandered for 40 years. What happened there? Everyone age 18 and over died. Guess who now, under Joshua's leadership, is brought to the banks of Jordan? I say to the banks of Jordan again, because this is still the children of Israel. This is still those people that were delivered out of Egypt. Were they born in Egypt in bondage and slavery? No, they weren't. They were there, but they had never been there before. They were in the wilderness wandering because of their poor decisions or unbelief. It was their parents. And now here they are given the opportunity as the covenant children of God to decide to act in faith and obedience and belief after they have come out of the wilderness to cross over into that land of victory, that land of promise, where God would give them incrementally over the time that they're in there, but nevertheless, a guaranteed promise. If you follow me, if you believe in me, you will never be defeated. You will vanquish or kill all of your enemies here, as long as you trust in me. And the crossing over this Jordan into that land means that I will go before you. That's what these people, the children of Israel, were faced with. And in Joshua chapter 4, they obeyed. What happened? Number one, they had a crossing of victory. And that crossing of victory was marked by three things. Number one, the fact that they had a cost that they counted. There was a cost that they counted. There were two spies and they were sent over. And they spied out the land and they brought back a report. And this is what they said. True, the Lord had delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Joshua chapter 2. They didn't go over to see if they could have victory. They went over to confirm, listen, the promise that God had already given them. It's true. It's true. It's true. Now, they're not all dead. They're not all vanquished. There is work for us to do, but we are guaranteed the victory as God's people. Here we are. So there was a cost that was counted. Secondly, there was a command that was kept. They were still on one side of the Jordan. They counted the cost with the spies and they came back. We got this because God promised it and their hearts are already faint. We just have to go over and be obedient. We need to keep the command. And that's what they did. The priest with the Ark of the Covenant stepped into the water and the waters stood on one side, running up back towards, the Bible says, to the city of Adam, where the waters just gathered and gathered and gathered and gathered. And then downstream, nothing. It all ran off. 40,000 crossed over, ready for war, the Bible said. They counted the cost. They kept the command. And they stepped over and followed to the other side of the Jordan and landed and encamped in the promised land, the land of victory. And God says, okay, now you need a collection to commemorate. You need a sign of remembrance of your victory. Not just that you counted the cost and trusted me, not just that you kept the command, but that I, your God, responded miraculously, supernaturally, divinely in a way that you could not do. And I delivered the victory to you. Not, it's not that you obeyed the command. It's not that you counted the cost. You did. You obeyed me. But me, God, I'm the only one who could have made those waters stand on their end for you to see and to give you courage and to give you heart and to give you promise and purpose so that when you live and dwell in this land, you don't have to faint. Not only do you not have to faint, but you're going to take these stones and you're going to set them up in your camp and they are going to stay there forever. You know why? Because just like you never saw the waters of the Red Sea part and cross over with Moses, but your parents told you about it, your children are going to hear about your signs, your victories, and they're going to ask what these stones are for, and you are going to be able to give them your testimony of victory. And they are going to take courage, and they are going to have heart, and they are going to realize God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. My parents are gone, but my God is never gone. One generation has passed and another generation has come. But as God, he never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never is rising to power or falling from power. He is all powerful and he is on our side. And if God is on our side, what can we not do but obey him? Because he is good. His goodness is equal to his power. He created the heavens and earth. By his own word, he spoke and light shined out of darkness. He created the heavens. He created the stars, the universe with intricate. That's the word I'm looking for. Intricate detail in design down to the last microcosm. And it continues to this day. And he did it just not to show off, though he did. He did it for a design and purpose that is good. Guess what? You and I have a sign of remembrance. We have a commemorative stone that we need to collect, so that when our children ask of us, we could steer them to an almighty, loving, living God that is as good and as great for them as they were for us. Stone number one, and they're all the same stone. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it tells us we have a stone of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, you could turn there and look there. Verse number 11, I'm going to read it for you. It says this: for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Acts 4:11 says this: this is the stone which was set at naught of the builders. In other words, it was rejected by the nation of Israel, but it has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. Any other what? Any other stone. What's the stone? It's not a what. It's a who. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one that was sent from God, who is God, who put on flesh, came into the world, lived, preached, called people to repentance, and then offered his body up as the perfect, sinless Lamb of God on the cross that he might pay the penalty of death for your sin and my sin. And then when he was laid in the grave by his own command, by his own power, by his own will, raised himself up again from the dead to conquer death, to overcome sin, to forgive you if you would humble yourself and repent and turn to him and ask him to forgive you, then you are handed a stone of remembrance, a stone of deliverance. Not from the physical land of Egypt, but from the spiritual land of bondage. Satan's lair, who has your heart without Christ. But in Christ, you have a stone that was rejected, but was redeemed to be the chief cornerstone of all those who believe. There's another aspect to this stone, the stone of Jesus Christ, upon which you and I were built, and that's found in Ephesians 2:20. Ephesians 2:20 tells us we have built on that stone, Jesus Christ, another stone, and that is a stone of fellow believers. Look with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse number 20. Back up to verse 19. It says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." What do we have here? We have the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the stone of salvation which you have been given. And then as you were given that salvation, you were made into a living stone that is fitly framed together with other living stones in the local fellowship, the local church, where you are built together to rely upon each other, to draw from each other's strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that stone, we have a sign of victory. As we are forever the Lord Jesus Christ, we can forever encourage and lift each other up in the Lord. The final aspect of this stone is found in Revelation 2:17. Here it tells us, because we have that stone of Jesus Christ, upon which is built a fitly framed fellowship with other believers, we have a white stone that symbolizes our endurance in Jesus Christ. In this land of promise, in this land of victory, there is one challenge after another. There's a Jericho, there's an Ai, there are Hittites and Hivites and mosquito bites and every type of people that are going to come up against you. I've already given you the victory, but you have to fight it. I was just kidding about the mosquito bites. I don't know if those are in the land or not. That part wasn't in the Bible. I just kind of made that up. But there are enemies that you are guaranteed 100% the victory if you simply obey God and you recall the white stone, the sign that you have collected for yourself for the victory, so you could rehearse those victories which God gave you to your children and your children's children, so they could look back and say, "I'm facing a challenge myself. But the God that I serve is the God of my parents. I don't serve my parents. I don't serve my grandparents. I serve an ever-living God who loves me and he cares for me and he is my God. Revelation 2:17 says this, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna and will give him a white stone. And in the stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saveth he that receiveth it. Your stone is for you. Your stone is for you. It's a personalized stone given to you by God with your name on it. Your kids aren't going to be able to read it. Other people aren't going to be able to read it because it's a sign that you have collected to commemorate your victory in Christ. Where are they? Here they are. Stones I've collected. Stones I've collected from my two daughters. I stole them. Then I felt bad, so I went back and I said, hey, you know those stones that someone bought you? Can I have a couple of those? Oh, of course you can. What you need them for? So, sermon illustration later? It's, oh, yeah, I'll show it. No, I already got them. What happens if I were to give some of those away and you'd never have to, oh, no problem, Daddy. Oh, shoo. Have to figure something else to do. Your stone. Lydia, do you see a stone there that you want? I bet your dad could. Oh, that's the best one. Sweetheart, that's your stone. God bless you. Mrs. Freeman, your stone. Your stone. I've only got two stones left, but every one of you has a stone available for you. If you let God give you the victory and save your soul from death and give you eternal life in heaven, he'll give you a stone. If you step forward in obedience, having counted the cost that God is worthy to be served because he is good and he is powerful. I'm going to serve him forever and I'm going to commemorate that by being baptized. I was in a wilderness of trial and testing and suffering, really not because of any decision I made, but because it was there. And I've come out of that wilderness and I'm crossing over into this land of promise. God has gone before me. He's guaranteed me the victory. You collect your stone. Let God be good for you. You just simply obey and follow him. Let's pray. Father, you're good. Your word is good. We don't deserve it, but we love you for it. Bless this evening in Jesus' name. Amen.
Some good stuff this evening. Wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. It's way up in heaven someday. Wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, or precious stones. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Pray we take heed to it. One thing God requires of us, just don't ever quit. Just don't ever quit. You fall down again. Keep getting up. My preacher says this, you fall down and you can't get up, then you crawl. If you can't crawl, you go on your stomach. If you can't go on your stomach, then you find a brother or sister going by you, you grab onto their belt loop or their hand and have them drag you. But you keep going forward in the Lord and don't ever quit. Because there is a reward someday. There is a reward someday. God wants you to have. See, we get it mixed up today's society. Some churches think that it's now that you get the blessings of God physically. Cars, homes, whatever. They just misplaced it. It's not. God wants to bless us with things, but it's not here. It's over there where either moth or rust or thieves break through and steal.
Amen.
The other side. He wants to bless us on the other side.
Because
on the other side, you're never going to lose it. This side, it's going to go up in smoke soon.
True.
The other side, it's there for eternity. Thank you, brother. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for this evening, Lord. I thank you for the message. Thank you for Brother Myers. Thank you, Lord, for him taking the time out of his busy schedule to come up here and support the family and be willing to preach tonight. Pray just bless him, his wife, and his children. Pray to give him a safe trip back home. Lord, all of us, I pray to give us a safe trip back home. Lord, it's been a trying week, dear God. A hard week. It's been a long week. It's been a sorrowful week. Lord, I thank you, dear God, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I just ask for your comfort, your help, and strength for this church, for the brethren, Lord, for Brother Roddy's church without a pastor. Lord, I pray tonight, dear God, that you would just bring a man across their path, Lord, and you would have to be there. If the man's already there, Lord, I pray you just make it evident that they will get a pastor. Lord, we love you. We just thank you for your precious word. And thank you for salvation and for all you do for us. Lord, help us to love you more in these coming days. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brethren. We're going to have a baptism here. If you would, we'll go downstairs and baptize Sister Erica, which would be interesting because it's my first baptism.
Yeah.
It's a lot of firsts.
Yeah.
So, but yep, we'll go downstairs, we'll get prepared, and we'll baptize Sister Erica.
Amen.
Amen.